Once again, just like last week, it's tough to relate this gospel passage with anything going on in the world today. This week, we have two disciples who are shaken in their faith because things didn't work out the way they thought they would. They were hoping things would go one way, and it turned out that everything went a completely unexpected direction. And they can't figure out how it all fits together, so they give in to discouragement, and they're walking away, going back to their former way of life. All their plans are ruined. All their projects put on hold. Everything that was giving them stability, it's gone. And so deep is their sadness that they can't recognize that Jesus is with them, drawing close right then. So sorry, no connection to what anyone's feeling in these days. We'll just have to treat this scripture passage as a historical document locked in the past. Who can't relate to these two disciples? They've fallen in love with Jesus. They've been drawn in by him. And they've probably made great sacrifices in order to stay with him. They've put their hope in him, and not just for themselves, but for the whole of God's chosen people. They say, "We were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel, to accomplish God's work, to establish the kingdom." And it seems like an absolute sure thing. They hear preaching like they've never heard it before. They see healings. They witness miracles. When Jesus enters into Jerusalem, he's hailed as king with Hosanna. And then it all falls apart. Completely, catastrophically, horrifically. Jesus, the one they hoped in, brutally tortured and killed. His dead corpse is laid in a tomb, and a stone is rolled across the entrance and sealed. It is, in a word, over. What would you think if you were these two disciples? What would you do? You do what they did. You leave. You go back to your former way of life, shaken and disturbed. It's so understandable. Everything they're doing is understandable. It all makes perfect sense. Except God is doing something new, something surprising. But that's how God always is. He is ever ancient, as St. Augustine says, but he's also, as the saint goes on, ever new God, ever ancient, ever new, always surprising his people. That's how God is. That's also how our faith is. Isaiah, in a great passage from the 55th chapter, has the Lord say through him, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." God is doing something new. And the disciples on the road to Emmaus aren't ready for it. And I'm not sure we are either. It's the surprise of the resurrection. It blows all their concepts, all their categories. It shocks them. But friends, that's God's normal way of acting. The incarnation is shocking. The resurrection, absolutely shocking. Jesus, present in the Eucharist, shocking, surprising, unexpected. So Jesus has to open their minds. He has to do it because left to themselves, they'll remain locked in their own understanding, and that is a narrow place to be. I went back in these days, and I researched a little, And I went back to one of St. John Paul II's first homilies, Easter homilies, 1979. He was made Pope in 1978. And he said this. He says, Christ's disciples have learned to utter the word resurrection. Christ's disciples have learned to utter the word resurrection. And it has become the most important word, the central word, the fundamental word in their language. Everything takes its origin again from it. To learn to utter the word resurrection. See, it's not innate in us. We don't have an instinct for the resurrection. We have an instinct for death. Everything comes to an end. But a Christian is welcomed into a new school to learn the resurrection and then to speak that word as if it's the most important word, the central word, the fundamental word. See, we need to learn that. We need to learn to utter the word resurrection because we're a lot like the disciples in tonight's gospel, right? Not really believing that Jesus is alive and in control, even in the midst of a pandemic. Not really recognizing that he is walking right with us at all times. Aren't we like that? Don't we need to go to school? Don't we want to learn something new? Well, if we're like the disciples in the gospel tonight, what prevents us from recognizing him? Well, certainly our fears, our worries, real as they may be, and they're not insignificant. Also, our disappointments that things are different than we prefer. Hello, class of 2020. But more deep than those things, maybe our certainty of our own understanding of things. Well, this is the way it is. That God couldn't possibly be working in ways that are far beyond what we can conceive of. Friends, you watch what the Lord is doing in and through this pandemic. You watch. He is at work in profound and powerful ways. But then finally, and maybe deepest of all, how we experience suffering. Because that's the block for the disciples, and that's what Jesus has to contend with. He says to them, oh, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets spoke. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? Suffering is a stumbling block for us, isn't it? It's hard. Isn't it easy to think that God has left us when we experience suffering? But nothing could be further from the truth. Jesus is especially close to you when you're suffering, whatever those sufferings may be. See, here's the truth, friends. Jesus has never left you. Maybe our eyes have been prevented from recognizing him for whatever reason, even good reasons. But he has never left you. That's the good news of the gospel. Every day during this pandemic, Jesus has drawn close to you, especially in the scriptures and in the Eucharist. All of us should be experts in our Bibles at this point, because you couldn't come to Mass until tonight. So you should have been reading the Gospels all the time, Catholics. The Lord is present in the Scriptures. He's also present in the Eucharist. And so those of you who can't be with us physically tonight, he's present in the Eucharist, and he has never left you, not one day during this pandemic. And you're like, well, what? I can't go to Mass. I haven't been at Mass in months. Every time the Mass is celebrated, the whole church is present. The church in heaven, the church on the way to heaven, and the church on earth. At every Mass, wherever the Mass is celebrated, whenever a priest says it, the whole church is present. and the graces flow to every member of the church. To you, he has never left you, not even in the Eucharist, not even when you couldn't receive it. He is still present. You know, just last week, Jesus passes through locked doors to amaze and awaken his followers. So too this week. Except this time he passes through much more dangerous locked doors. The locked doors that seal away our hearts and imprison our souls. The locked doors of sadness and discouragement. He walks right through them. He's not held back by those obstacles. He meets and overcomes our deepest fear that we'll be left alone in our time of need, that God will leave us alone. But he doesn't leave us alone. He draws close. He opens our minds to understand the scriptures. He remains with us in the breaking of the bread. He opens a new way to be with us in the Eucharist. And all of it is surprising. All of it is new. And maybe it is for us today as well. Because maybe we've heard the truth of the faith before, but never really listened to it. Maybe the virus, which has kept us from Mass, has shocked us out of our complacency and sharpened our recognition for our need for Jesus. Hopefully it has. But I also hope that it has heightened our awareness of how close he actually is to us, how he draws near in so many beautiful ways. So friends, pray for that grace, to be aware of how close Jesus is to you. Ask him for that grace tonight. Because if we receive that grace, the grace of awareness, how could we ever say anything other than what the disciples in tonight's gospel say? Were not our hearts burning within us as he spoke to us on the way? Friends, we'll receive our Lord tonight, those of you who are with us in the chapel. Those of you at home, you'll receive in a spiritual communion. May our hearts burn with the sure and certain joy of knowing Christ with us. That is a joy that no thing in the world could ever provide. It is the joy of knowing that we're loved, that the tomb is empty, and more importantly, the one who was in the tomb is now with us. So we walk with him with hearts ablaze. He is with us on the way. He is with us on this way, through this time in history, in this journey. With him, we have all we need, more than we need. So may we walk, and walk with great joy. Our hearts should burn with faith, because Jesus Christ is risen from the dead.